Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins two lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. We have a quote from the Mishnah, Hoyu Shtei Kitei Edim. There were two sets of witnesses, Kofro HaRishona, the Acharkach Kofro HaShnia, Shtehen Chayavos, where both sets, one after the other, denied falsely knowledge of testimony. On the side of the Gemara, you see we have a nosei, a topic heading, B'mikre shel kofru shnei kitei edim, in a case where the two sets of witnesses denied. Why is the first set of witnesses guilty? They're not actually the ones causing a loss for the litigant in their denial of testimony. There is, after all, the second set of witnesses waiting to testify. And yet, the Mishnah says that the first set is also guilty. The Gemara continues. Bishlamo Shnia Tischayev. I understand well that the second set of witnesses are guilty as a result of their false denial of testimony. De Kofra Lo Rishona. The first set has already denied, and they're out of the picture then. They said their piece. They're out. All the testimony then is dependent on the second set, and when they deny, so they're actually causing a loss to the Baal Din, to the litigant. Elo Rishona Amai. Why does the Mishnah say that the first set of witnesses are also guilty of Shavuos Eidus? We continue at the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Ha Kaimo Shnia. There is, after all, the second set of witnesses. So as we said before, what loss did the first set of witnesses cause in their denial? Amar Ravina. So Ravina answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon. The case of the Mishnah is as follows. Kegoin shehoisa shnia b'shas kfiras rishona kroivin b'nishosehem u'nishosehem goisesois. At the time of the testimony of the first set of witnesses, the second set of witnesses at that moment were invalid, were ineligible to testify on the grounds that they were related through their wives. You have two men that the two witnesses had actually married two women that were sisters. And as a result, the two men could not testify as a set, as a unit of testimony. So at the point that the first witnesses were testifying, they were the only ones. Oh, so if they were the only ones, they were solely responsible for the loss of money on the part of the litigant that needed their testimony. Now, another point that we make in the Gemara is at the time of the first set's testimony, the wives of the second witnesses were also deathly ill. They were goisesos. Now, what's the chiddush here? Ma'u detema. Without the Mishnah, I would have thought roiv goisesim lamisa. The majority of people that are in that deathly state are going to die. And in our mind's eye, maybe we should view them as already dead. And if that be the case, so then the second witnesses are no longer related to one another. And they are then, in our mind's eye, eligible to have testified at that time, at the time that the first witnesses were denying. And maybe we should exempt the first set of witnesses. Chomash Malon, the Mishnah comes to tell me that though they're deathly ill, they are considered alive regarding all matters of halacha, even though the majority do expire. The Mishnah. Before we continue in the Mishnah itself, we have a marking scheme, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, we add a triangle. Mashpia ani aleichem. You see that that phrase appears in a triangle three times in the Mishnah. Tvios shi'aidu. Different claims that are made for which they could testify. Witnesses, that is, the testimony, knowledge of testimony in different examples. And the diamond is here to highlight the point at which they deny the knowledge. The Mishnah. Mashpiani aleichem im lo tovo v'teiduni sheyesh li biyad ploni pikadon utsumes yad v'gezel v'aveda. One of the litigants comes, turns to the witnesses and says, I impose upon you an oath if you don't come and testify concerning the pikadon, an entrusted article in the other party's hands that he's refusing to give back to me, tsumes yad, a loan that I had extended to him, and a theft that he had stolen from me, and a lost article that belongs to me that he isn't giving back. So I turn to you guys to testify on my behalf regarding each one of these claims. And what is their response? Shvua shein onu yoidim l'cha edus. Ein chayovin elachas. If their response is a general response, we swear that we do not know testimony for you. Well, ein chayovin elachas. The Mishnah rules they are guilty, of course, if their denial is false, of one offense. And as a result, they'll bring one sacrifice. Shvua she'ein onu yoidim sheyesh l'cha biyad ploni. If, however, they delineate, we do not know concerning your claim of his having pikadon utsumes yad v'gezel v'aveda. Notice they enumerate in their denial. Then chayovim al kol achas v'achas. Since they delineated, they itemized, it results in a separate oath of denial regarding each item. Another case. Mashvi ani aleichem im lo tavo v'teidu, or another girsa v'teiduni. Same scenario. He imposes upon them an oath if they don't come and testify on his behalf. Sheyesh li biad ploni pikadon chitim usorim v'kusmin. Now here you have one general entity, meaning one claim of something entrusted. However, the item entrusted itself has several, in this case, three different examples, three different entrusted items. And they are wheat, barley, and kusmin, a third type of grain. And that's his claim. And now, what's their response? Again, two responses of denial. Shvua she'en anu yodim l'cha edus. Again, you have the general type response, we don't know testimony for you. Ein chayav mela achasin. When it turns out that they're lying, so they're obligated, each one, to bring only one sacrifice. However, if they say an itemized shvua she'en anu yodim l'cha edus sheyesh l'cha biyad ploni chitim usor v'kosmin, we swear that we don't know any testimony on your behalf concerning the wheat, barley, and the kusmin grain, chayovin al kol achas v'achas. Again, you see the itemization. The third example. Mashpi ani aleichem im lo tavo v'ta'iduni sheyesh li biad ploni nezek v'chatzi nezek tashlumi kefa v'tashlumi abo v'chamisha v'sheonas ish ploni es biti v'pitos biti v'shehikani bini v'shechova bi chaveri v'sheidlik es gedishi v'yom kipurim. You see a number of different claims, and if they deny, harei elu chayovim, these claims can generate on the part of witnesses that deny knowledge, denial of edus. Now, you'll ask, what's the chiddush over here? What's the novel point? So, in the Rashi, you see, v'shikani b'ni, hakol she'ein bo chabura. We're talking about he assaulted, the son insulted the father. The father is laying claim over here, and it's an assault where there was no bruise created. As a result of that, she'enu chayav olav misa. There is no death penalty as a result of that situation. Shamaki oviv eino chayav elim kin osa boi chabura. A child who accosts his parent and creates a bruise is chayav misas beisdin, is chayav to be executed. His punishment is one of execution, a capital offense. However, if no bruise was created, the kevon deleko misa iko mamon deboshes. Even that in a situation where there is a capital penalty, so then there's no money payment. And in this case, since there was no bruise, so there's no capital element, therefore there leaves room for the monetary element. Money is paid, and the money is paid for the embarrassment that the son created for the father. The next Rashi, v'shechov al b'chaveri, mishum yom ha-kippurim nokat leib. The case of being assaulted by his friend is connected to the next case in the Mishnah of v'shehidlik es kiddishi on Yom Kippur. And the assault resulted in a bruise, and that constitutes a Yom Kippur violation. Now, Yom Kippur does not carry with it court execution as a punishment. However, Yom HaKippurim, when it is violated, is punishable by kores. And even though there is a kores punishment for having created the bruise or for having ignited the grains, hidlik es kiddishi, ignited the grains of his friend on Yom Kippur, causing a conflagration, so that is punishable by kores, but since it's not a court execution, chayav moment, as Rashi says. V'hanoch d'li'el nokat, the examples before in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah featured nezek, which was damages, chatzi nezek is half damages, that's in the case of a rather tame, a short-tom animal, gores another animal, and it hasn't become a muad, it hasn't become known as a damaging an animal with a tendency to damage, so he pays up till three times. It will pay half damages. Tashlume kefel, the Mishnah featured, is a double payment in the case of a theft, a surreptitious theft, and a four and five payment, tashlume arba chamisha, that the Mishnah mentions. That's in a case where after the theft, the thief then either sold or slaughtered the animal that he sold. That would result in a multiple payment of up to four or five times, which includes the double payment for the theft. And the Mishnah also spoke about onas. Onas is a rape, where a father lays claim that so-and-so raped his daughter or seduced his daughter. So Rashi tells us that all these examples, hanach d'il nokat mishum chatzi nezek, can be forced by Gemara. Because of the example of chatzi nezek, so the Mishnah taught the other payments as well, as the Gemara explains. Inami. Now, the Gemara will deal with that, as Rashi already tells us, so we don't have to dwell on it, but just be aware that there's a concept of something called knas. Knas sometimes is translated as a fine. However, it's a type of payment that one becomes obligated to pay, which doesn't correspond necessarily, it does not correspond, financially speaking, with the damage or that which was done, and yet he has to pay. So witnesses that deny that kind of knowledge, it's It's a money denial, even though it's not considered mammon in the classic sense. Mammon is a straightforward what the value or what the cost of the damage is what one has to pay. That's categorized as a mammon payment. The payments featured in the Mishnah, some of these are, like you could see, the half payment that a short time makes, or the double payment that a thief has to make. Those are payments that don't correspond exactly to the act that was done. So the Mishnah teaches these examples. Inami, Rashi goes on, Lashmin Damashbi Eide Knas Chayovim. As we're explaining now, that one who imposes the oath of Edus on witnesses concerning matters of Knas, and they deny, they are also Chayov, as if they were denying a straightforward Momon payment. We explained that already. The example of father claiming that his son accosted him in the event there's no bruise, that needs to be taught, because that does result in a money payment, because there is no capital penalty in that case. The Gemara opens with a long question, and it touches on the topic we just discussed. One who is mashbia edei knas, one who imposes a shvua on witnesses that no information, no testimony that would result in the second party paying a knas type payment. What happens when these witnesses deny? The Gemara. Notice we have a long question marking. Ibayalaho mashbia edei knas mahu. We have a note on the side. There's a double-starred note, and it gives us some important background. Shnei machlokos, Reb Elozer, Reb Shimon, v'chachomim, b'maseches bava kama. There are two points of controversy, two machlokos, and two arguments that these tanoim have with one another, Reb Elozer, Reb Shimon, versus the chachomim. One, ha'moide b'knas v'achakach bo eidim. There's a concept in halacha that one who comes forward and says that I am guilty of a knas payment. For example, a person comes forth and says, I secretly stole an item from my neighbor. Well, a surreptitious theft results in a double payment. So when one is modeh b'knas, when one confesses that, he exempts himself from the second payment, from the extra payment, the kefel payment. This is true with regarding all areas that are described or are defined as knas, modeh b'knas. However, what happens when someone on his own comes forth with a confession concerning a knas payment? Following his confession, witnesses come testifying that he did that act. Reb Elozer b'Shimon chayev l'shaim. Reb Elozer b'Shimon is mechayev. He obligates the offending party to pay, even though initially he confessed. It doesn't constitute a ticket to permanent safety from litigation. Namely, if witnesses come subsequently, he will have to pay. Chachamim Potter, the corner of the Chachamim, he's exempt. Once you come forth and confess, you're no longer chayev to pay the knas, even if edim, even if witnesses show up later testifying testifying that you committed that knas-oriented offense. Another machlokes, this is something we saw on our previous daf on daf lamed beis amud aleph, hamashbia eid echad, the kofar. We impose when you have a singular witness and we impose the shvuas eidus on him, the oath of testimony, and he denied knowledge of the testimony. Reb Elozer b'Shimon says chayef. He is obligated. If you recall, in our previous year, we described the power of a singular witness is to, he can motivate someone, or he, through his testimony, he forces the defendant to swear. Oftentimes, people don't swear. They'd rather pay than swear. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says that when you are mashpia, a singular witness, and he denies falsely his knowledge, the witness is chayav, he's in violation of shvuas ha'edus, the davar agurim lemamon kemamon dami. Matters that lead, or that could lead, to money being paid, and through the denial of the testimony, so the other litigant is going to lose out that possible money payment, so the witness is guilty in his false denial. V'chomim poter. The chomim don't agree with that ruling. They don't agree with Rabbi Shimon's position that dovar goreim lemamon kimamon dami. As we've said many times in our recent shiurim, shvuas ha'edus, the punishment for denying testimony is only testimony that concerns testimony that would have resulted in the defendant paying money. A singular witness doesn't directly obligate the defendant to pay money. You need two witnesses for that. So now that is all background to this piece of Gemara. So the Gemara asks, if you are mashbia eidei knas, witnesses that know of an action, an offense that would have resulted in a knas payment. We had in the Mishnah a few examples of that, including a person who is charged as having raped a young girl. If one rapes a nara, a girl, up till age 12 and a half, so there's a payment known as knas. It's a 50 shekel, Torah shekel payment. Shekel is a unit of money mentioned in the Torah. The Gemara continues. We have raised a question. However, the question is focused. Aliba de Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon de Omar Yavo Eidim V'Yaidu Lo Tiboyalach. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, in the realm of Moda Beknas, V'achakach Bo'edim, the top topic we discussed in our note on the side, where someone, even if he confesses the Knas payment, but the subsequent appearance of witnesses will result in his having to pay, there is no question that witnesses who deny knowledge of a Knas payment or a knas offense are guilty, because their denial is a denial that otherwise would have resulted in the offending party paying the knas, paying the money. Kiti bayalach aliba de rabbonan. The question comes up according to the rabbonan, the amri that hold moide beknas v'achar kach bo edim poter, that when you have an offending party who, prior to the appearance of witnesses, confesses his wayward action, he is home free. He's exempt even if witnesses appear subsequently. So, according to the Rabbanan that hold this position, we are asking our question. In the meantime, the offending party hasn't admitted. So he hasn't admitted, and we ask our question, and notice, by the way, we have a bracketed section. If we skip the brackets momentarily, notice, my means, what is the din? According to the Rabbanan that hold, Moide b'knas v'achar b'edim's poter. And the analysis is as follows. Aleph, kevon de'ilu moide miftar lav monuka kofale, since in potential, if the offending party would confess before the witnesses come, there's no more money payment. So it's not called a mamon testimony denial. Oy dilma, hashtemiel oldi. Or maybe we say in the meantime the offending party hasn't confessed, and if they would come and testify now, they would obligate him to pay money. So according to this approach, we don't look at the potential exemption from money payment, but in current terms, in actual immediate terms, their testimony would result in his having to pay the knas. And their denial, therefore, results in their guilt, their false denial, of course. Now, we skipped a bracketed section. So we go back over that and learn it. The Gemara, remember, is asking the question not according to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, but according to the Rabbonon that argue with Reb Elazar Reb Shimon on that particular point of Moide B'Knas V'Achar Kach Bo Eidim. There is another Rabbonon. Now, this is maybe a little confusing at times, but it's true we saw Reb Elazar Reb Shimon in two machlokes, and we delineated them on the side of the Gemara in the comment that we read. In each appearance of Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, there is an opposing school of thought. They are not necessarily the same group of rabbis in each case. So bearing that in mind, that they are not the same rabbis, we go through the bracketed section. The Rabbonon de Hossam, the Rabbonon over there in the case of Moide B'Knas V'Achar Kach Bo Eidim, that hold there is exemption, Keman Svira Lahu, like whom will those Rabbonon in Bava Kama, like whom will they hold regarding the issue of Mashbia Eidecha, the topic on Lamed, Daf Lamed Beis over here? Once again, the Rabbonon over there in Bava Kama that hold that the subsequent appearance of Eidim does not result in one who confessed the Knas having to pay, what is their position regarding a singular witness that denies? In Lema, Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Dehacha, if you're going to claim that they hold, like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon over here, that one witness who denies money is denies knowledge of some money payment, but he's a singular witness, and he denies, is nevertheless chayev. Well, hokomar. Well, we know Reb Elazar Reb Shimon's position is dover hagoreim lemamon kemamon dami. Some testimony that could lead to a money payment is considered like actual money, and therefore the denial is a real denial. And as a result of that, they are definitely chayev. So it would be, the answer to the question here would be obvious. When you're mashpia eide knas, that would certainly be no less than a standard dover hagoreim lemamon. And the answer would be then quite obvious that mashbi eidei knas, according to those rabbonon who argue with Reb Elazar Shimon in Bava Kama, would certainly agree here regarding the issue of witnesses denying knas payment, as long as the fellow hasn't confessed. The offending party certainly would be subject to money payment, having to pay the knas. So it's no less than any other dover hagoreim lemamon. Elo kirabonon dehocha, diamri dover hagoreim lemamon lav kimamon dami. So the Gemara concludes within the brackets that the rabbonon there in Bava Kama, regarding the Moide B'Knas V'Achar Kach Bo Eidim, is exempt. Those Rabbonin will hold, like the Rabbonin over here, that Mashpia Eid Echad is, and denies their knowledge, and he denies knowledge, would also be exempt. On the grounds of, as the Gemara says, Rabbon Dachad, the Amri Dover HaGorim L'mamon Lav Kimamon Dami, it's not considered like money. The testimony of a singular witness would, at best, make the defendant swear, And so many people don't like to swear. So as a result of that, he would end up paying. What about over here, where we have two witnesses that know of a knas type offense? So the Gemara says, as we learned before, kevon de ilu moide miftar lav mamona kapot kofar le. Since the offending party, if he were to confess his knas type offense, he would be exempt. So their denial is not considered a mamon, a money denial. Ol dilma hashtami aloodi. Or, however, in the meantime, the offender hasn't confessed, and if they would testify, they would mechayev him, they would obligate him straight out in paying. And therefore, their kfira, their denial, is a real hefsid to the claiming party. We continue now trying to answer that question, Toshma. And you'll notice we have a house shape. And if you skim ahead just a few lines, you'll notice how this house shape is positioning itself in an alternating up-down position. And on the side of the Gemara, the Mivneh heading, you can see we have a house shape, and we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a vigorous give-and-take discussion. With the point facing upwards, you'll notice these are nisyonos lehochiach degam ede knas chayovim im kofru b'yediyas edus. And these are attempts to show that the ede knas are guilty of kfiras edus. And the inverted house indicates dechios, a rejection of whatever was said previously. Ta shma, mashbia ani alechem im lo tavo v'ta'iduni shiesh li biad ploini nezek v'chatzi nezek. Of course, from our Mishnah, where the litigant imposed a shvua se'edus on the witnesses regarding knowledge of a chatzi nezek payment. The witnesses are charged with knowing that that so-and-so's tame ox gored the litigants, charging parties, the litigants' animal, and caused damage. Half damage payment is necessary. Now, v'ho chatzi nezek knasahu. Chatzi nezek payment is a knas. It doesn't correspond to the actual value of the damage. So we would be able to conclude from here that mashbi eidei knas, and they deny their knowledge, are guilty. The Gemara rejects this and says, Keman d'omar palga nizka mamona. The Mishnah is taught according to a second opinion that you see in Maseches Bava Kama, we haven't discussed that over here, that classifies chatzi nezek not as a knas type payment, but as a mamon payment. So then you have a straightforward denial of mamon, of a straightforward money payment. By the way, you might ask, what's the difference between these categories? We touched on it before, but we'll say it again. If you classify something as knas, that leaves room for the offending party, if he confesses, to be then exempted from making the payment. If it's a mamon payment, so then a person does not create exemption for himself through confession. The Gemara asks, ha nicha lemadomer palga niska mamona. So your rejection is valid, but only according to that particular opinion that says chatzi nezek palga means half nezka, half nezek payment is classified as mamon. Elo lamando amar knosa ma'iko lememar. But according to the opinion that chatzi nezek is a knas payment, so then what are you going to say? Are you not going to, in fact, conclude from our Mishnah that says chatzi nezek and witnesses who deny knowledge of that are guilty? So we would have an answer, wouldn't we? The Gemara says no, no conclusion. B'chatzi nezek tsuros dehilchus gemiri law debamonahu. The Mishnah made reference to chatzi nezek, and up till now we were discussing chatzi nezek in terms of a goring ox. There's a unique additional example of chatzi nezek. This is called tsuros. Tsuros is a situation where an animal walking along on the road, on an unpaved road, on a pebble path, causes pebbles or little rocks to fly out from under its feet, and in their flight they cause damage. That's called tsuros. There is an oral tradition which the Gemara calls Hilchus Gemirila, an oral tradition from Sinai, that that damage is to be paid in terms of half the value of the actual damage, and it is a mamon payment. It's not in the realm of knas. True, it doesn't correspond to the actual damage, but nevertheless, it's called a mamon payment. The Gemara in Bava Kamma explains at greater length why these opinions say what they do. But for our purposes, it's not a, it's not an example of knas. Our Mishnah, when it says chatzi nezek, is a reference to chatzi nezek of tsuros. It's not a knas issue, and therefore the Mishnah up till so far cannot be used as a source to resolve our question. We're asking about mashpia eidei knas. Come on, ask, well, toshma, let us prove the question from an additional part of the Mishnah, tashlumei kefel. It said in the Mishnah, if witnesses know information concerning a surreptitious theft, which results in a double payment, they are guilty in their denial. So you see, and that kefil, by the way, is a knas payment. The Gemara says you can't prove anything from the Mishnah because mishum karna. Karna means principle. When they deny knowledge of the theft, they are also denying knowledge of the principal amount that is owed. Now, the principal is, of course, not knas. That's mamon. And it's on that basis that their denial results in their guilt. The Gemara asks, well, there's another example, though. V'tashlumei dalet v'hei. The Mishnah makes reference to a person who not only stole, but he also either slaughtered or sold the animal that he sold. And that results in an additional payment leading up to a maximum of 4 or 5 times the value of the animal. That's knas. The Gemara says, no, once again, mishum karna. The denial of dalet v'hei is including a denial of the principal value. And denial of the principal value is, of course, something that results in the punishment or the penalty of kfiras edus. The Gemara asks, what about another example in the Mishnah where there's knas? Vishonas ish ploni upita esbiti. Man lays claim to someone having raped or seduced his young daughter. And the Torah demands a payment on the offending party's part of 50 shekel. The Gemara rejects that as proof to our question, an answer to our question, because mishum boishes upegam. In addition to the 50 shekel that a rapist or seducer has to pay the father of the girl, there is also a mamon payment of boshes, a payment for embarrassment, and pagam, a payment for depreciation in her value as a result of her being subjected to this. Notice we have a long bracketed section taking you to the bottom line. Now, of course, if you don't have a marked Gemara in front of you, you would do well in contacting gmarkings@gmail.com in order to access marked Gemaras. Notice the bottom line. Again, we have a house shape. We try to resolve our question with another source. Before we get to that, though, in the bracketed section, we have a question on that which we've said till now. On the side, you notice there's a starred note. Achrei ha-sograyim, ha-gemor mamshicho levarer adin shel eidei knas shekofru. After the brackets, the Gemara continues trying to resolve the issue of witnesses to a matter that would be a knas payment that denied knowledge, what is the din? The Gemara within the brackets relates to the following. All the examples of the Mishnah that we've cited till now, the Chatzi Nezek, we said is Tsuros. The Kefel is a denial that results in their guilt because of the principle. The 4 or 5 also because of the principle. The Oinus and the Pitui also because of the Boishes of Gam. All of those are Momon payments. Our note says all the examples that were brought in the Mishnah. Hey, Momon velo knasim kein lomot srichim ribui hadigmos. What do I need all those examples for? Now the Gemara in the brackets. My komash malon kula mamonahu. What is the purpose of the Mishnah in featuring so many examples where they're all mamon payments? The Gemara answers, Reisha chado komashmalon, Seifa chado komashmalon. The early part of the Mishnah has a point of novelty, and the latter part of the Mishnah as well. Reisha chado komashmalon, the chatzi nezek tsuros mamonahu. In featuring the example of chatzi nezek and telling me that it's a mamon payment, I am really telling you that the half damage payment for tsuros is a mamon and not a knas payment. That is a significant piece of information for me to know about. As we said before, one practical outcome of that is if a person's animal did do damage through tsuros and he tells us that, he'll have to pay. He's not moed b'knas. Seifa chadak mashmalon. The seifa had a novel point, v'shehidlik es gedishi b'yom ha-kippurim. There is a case of damage done on Yom Kippur that results in payment. Let us point out that I'm sure everyone is asking, okay, very nice, we explained the Chatzi Nezek. What about all the other examples? The Gemara doesn't try to explain them. So Rashi, 4 lines from the bottom, says, and you'll notice we dashed underline this in the Rashi, the Aidi de Tanya Ha, once the Mishnah teaches the case of Chatzi Nezek Tsuros, Tono Behadei Tashlume Dalit Vehei V'Oinus Mefate, it teaches the other examples just by the way. De Momon Shein Mishtalein Baroshu. They're all examples of monies that are paid that don't correspond to the actual act or actual damage done. Similar, dumya de chatzi nezek shemish dan barosh, just like the half damage payment, half payment for the damages also, it doesn't correspond to the actual damage. The term barosh means, for our purposes, a actual or principal amount. Now, we said that the Seifa had a novel point, very specifically the case of an offender who is charged with having burnt someone's pile of grain on Yom Kippur, and that's called a mamon situation. This Mishnah is lafuke mai, is coming to the exclusion of what? Lafuke midrabi nechunya ben akona. Our Mishnah stands in opposition to the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya. The Sanya, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, hoya oisa yom ha-kippurim kishabbos letashlumin. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona viewed money payments that result from a Yom Kippur violation like one would view money payments that result from a Shabbos violation. What is the bottom line with regard to, let us say, damages, specifically you burn someone's property, destroying someone's property through fire on Shabbos. So the quote here is abbreviated. It says, Ma Shabbos v'chule, what the continuation tells us is just like on Shabbos, which represents a day of, we'll say, a capital offense, malachas for prohibited activities that are committed or violated on Shabbos result in a death penalty. So too, says Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, forbidden activities done on Yom Kippur, which doesn't carry with it a death penalty, but does carry with it a kores penalty. We tell you that just like with regard to Shabbos, we say kom leiba deraba minei, the person who is subjected to two penalties, one for violating of Shabbos and one for destruction of the person's property, we impose upon him the more serious punishment, and that would be the death penalty. So too with regard to Yom Kippur, where there's a kores penalty for the violation of Yom Kippur, and the monetary payment made for the damage done on that day, no money is paid, and the person suffers or is punished with simply the kores, which is something, of course, that God administers. So what do we see in our Mishnah? That the testimony of Hidlik es Kedishi b'Yom Kippurim would have resulted in a money payment, which is not the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. We go back to our issue of Mashpia Eidei Knas. Toshma, Mashpia ni Alechem im lo tavu v'toyiduni. Man charges witnesses to come and testify on his behalf, and he says so under oath. And what testimony does he want them to say? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Shehaitzi ish ploni shem ra al biti chayovin. Hoyde mipi atzmo poter. Now this last phrase, you notice we put in brackets because it's really not the center of our discussion right now. But if a man who is a father of a girl puts a claim in that so and so falsely accused my daughter of not being a virgin upon her marriage to that fellow, having claimed that she had intimacy with someone else before the husband had consummated his marriage. That's called motzi shem ra, and when it's proven, when it's shown that this fellow is lying, so he has to pay 100 shekel, 100 pieces of silver, as the Torah mandates. So now witnesses are aware of this, and we look in Rashi at the top. Shehotzi ploni shem ra biti viomar, and the father says, viomar bebeizdin lo motzasi lebitcha psulim. The father claims that so and so spoke ill of my daughter, and he said in court that I didn't find your daughter to be a virgin. V'nimtza badoy, and it turned out that he was lying. V'lo ispakti lamidu sham bedin, and the father says I didn't have a chance to actually collect the money from him in court. Letovo knas shel mea kesef, and he still owes me the money. I didn't have a chance. Lo ispakti, I didn't have a chance to extricate from him or extract from him the 100 payment of kesef that he is chayev to me. Now that's a knas payment. If the husband would have come forth and said that in a particular court and say that in such and such a court I was guilty of being motzi shem ra, now he would be exempt. He wouldn't have to pay. He's called moida b'knas. Now Rashi adds on the third line from the top, hoyde mipi atzmo bebeisdin zeh shehoitzi shem ra bebeisdin acher. If a man would say in this court, you know, I was guilty of casting aspersions on so-and-so's daughter in another court, potter, he would be exempt. Kosalka dait dechashta, the thinking right now is da filu bo edim li acher shoyde ko'omar potter, that even if witnesses would come after his confession, this man would be exempt. This is exactly the case that we are dealing with. The kotoni hamashpia es ha'edim kodim hoida chayovin, almo mashpia edei knas chayovin. So this would seem to prove and deal with our case according to our terms of Moda Biknas V'achakach Bo Eidim would have been exempt. Well, the Gemara rejects this. It says, Ha'moni Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Hi. This Tanaic source which holds the witnesses guilty if they deny the testimony, this is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, which is not the opinion that we were analyzing. To Omar, he holds Yavo Eidim V'Yaidu. Let the witnesses come even after he confesses and testify and obligate the husband to pay the money. So as far as we are concerned, this doesn't answer our question, because we were asking the question not according to laws of Bibshim. We were asking our question according to the Rabbonon that said that in potential the husband could be home scot-free if he would have confessed. And not only home, we say home scot-free means even if witnesses would appear subsequently testifying against him. The Gemara continues, Amos Seifa. The Mishnah said, Hoide me'atzmo potur, asa'on l'rabbonan. Did it not say that if the husband confesses on his own, he would be exempt? Which sounds like permanently, even if witnesses would come later on. The Gemara says, no. Kula Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon hi. The entire Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. V'hochi komar. And the proper understanding of the Mishnah is Lo Mishkachas law Hoide Mipiatzmo de Potter. You don't have a situation of Hoide Mipiatzmo that would be exempt. Elohecha Deleko Eidim Klal the Hoide Meatzmo. Only in a case where there are no witnesses and he confessed on his own. However, if he confessed on his own and witnesses came after his confession, he would be chayev to pay, and therefore, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, it represents a case of mamon gomor and doesn't help to answer our question. So if you notice, the marking scheme was a very vigorous give and take Gemara. We raised the question. We had at the beginning a house with the point facing up, which was an attempt to resolve the question. When you get finished with this sugya, the last house marking that you see is an inverted house, basically rejecting any attempt to answer the question, and the question remains. What is the din of witnesses that deny knas payment knowledge according to the opinion that holds Moida B'Knas V'Achakach Bo Eidim would in fact have been himself have been exempt? The Mishnah Mashbi Ani Alechem Im Lo Tavo V'Teidu Shani Koyin. And you see in this Mishnah a whole list of claims of testimony, which at the end of the Mishnah, you'll notice their denial is a denial of, is not considered Shvuas Kiris Eidus, and hence the Mishnah at the end says Pturim. All of these points of testimony are not mamon claims. So he, person says, Mashbi Ani Alechem, I impose upon you the Shvuas Eidus in Lo Tavu Ve'Teudu, that I'm a Shani Kayin, Shani Levi, She'eni Ben Grusha. I'm a Kohen whose father did not marry a divorced woman. A Kohen who marries a divorced woman and has a child, even though the father is a Kohen, he is a Cholol. So here, the person is saying, I'm not the son of a Grusha. V'sheini ben Chalitza. Likewise, I'm not the son of a woman who received Chalitza, which would result also in a disqualification of the Kohen, of the son of the coin, of being a effective coin, in effect a coin, who's rather would have been called a cholo. Sheish ploni coin, testify that so and so is a coin. Sheish ploni levi, sheino, that so and so is not a ben grusha, sheino ben chalutza. Sha'onas ish ploni es bito. I want you to testify that so-and-so raped, or pita es bito, or seduced so-and-so's daughter, not his own daughter. He's not making a claim for on his own behalf to receive money, but he's making a claim that that they should testify on behalf of someone else. V'shechoval bi bini, v'shechoval bi chaveri, v'shehidlik gedishi b'shabbos. Testimony that my son inflicted an injury upon me, a bruise, or that some so and so hit me, or lit my godish, my pile of grain on Shabbos. Hare elu pturin. All of these examples, even though they lied in their denial of knowledge, of testimony, nevertheless, it's not testimony that would have resulted in a money payment. The Gemara now opens with a question based on an inference drawn from the Mishnah. Taima de ish ploni kohen, de ish ploni levi. The reason there is exemption is because it was a non-money type payment. We infer, though, however, if you would create a claim similar but with a money type payment, then there would have been a penalty of shvuas eidus. So what's the inference? Ha mona liploni biyad ploni chayovin. Testimony concerning someone else owing another person money. Not that they owe me money, but that they owe someone else money. That type of testimony and its denial would have resulted in their guilt. Well, Hakatani Seifa, but the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hey, the continuation of our Mishnah there on Daf Lamed Hey, says that there is no Shvuas Eidus penalty ad sheyishmeu mipi hatoveah, until the witnesses hear their being summoned by the actual party to whom the money is owed. Now, in our inferred case, was the money to whom the money is owed summoning the witnesses? Not at all. It was some nice guy who was interested in his friend's welfare, so he was summoning the witnesses to testify on behalf of his friend. So why do you infer from our mission that would have been chayav, when the Seifa says that witnesses are not chayav unless they hear the summons from the offended party himself? Omar Shmuel, Beba Baharsha. The diuk, the inference that we drew, namely mona leploni biad ploni, they are chayav. That's when someone is coming to court with harsha, with power of attorney. What does that mean in effect? I am coming to claim the money on behalf of so-and-so. So that there's a more, he himself, the fellow who's coming with this power of attorney, he is the Tovea. So that the inference that we made on our Mishnah, it jives with the Mishnah of Daf Lamed Hey, where guilt on the part of the witnesses is only when he is summoned by the collecting party, the Tovea. So when you're coming with power of attorney, you in effect are the Tovea. You are coming with the claim. Question. Vo'amri Nahardoi, lo kasvinon urchaso ametatali. But in Nahardoi, it has been said that we don't write or assign, urchaso is harsha, it's the same word, but it's in Aramaic. We don't assign power of attorney when you're dealing with portables, and cash, which is the case over here, money is in the realm of metopolin. The Gemara answers, Hani mili hecha de kafre. That's true that we don't assign power of attorney when the second litigant denies having it. Avol lo kafre, if there is no denial, kasvina, then we will write, assign power of attorney, even regarding portables. As far as why that is, so that has to do with an area of halacha called mechsi kishikra. When you write power of attorney concerning something that was already denied, it doesn't look so, we'll say, it doesn't look so accurate or so honest that in fact there is something to collect. Now, as we continue on in the Gemara, we first glance at the side. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You notice a diamond. And we indicate these are Deos Tanoim, different Tanaic opinions. Mahu HaMokur Sheparshas Shvuah Sa'edus Eina Ela B'Tviyas Momon. What is the source that denial of testimony results in guilt only when it's a testimony concerning money matters, money collection? You will see triangles that appear in alternating directions. This is, again, called a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back-and-forth style. With the point facing up, they will be called shuvos, responses. The inverted triangle will be considered kushos, questions. Tana Rabbanan, minayin she'ein hakosuv medabe el b'tfias mamon. From where do we know that kfiras edus is only when there is a claim for money? Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ne'mar Kan, it says here in the Parsha of Edus. Now the next word is in effect a plural of the word O. So it says O in. It says O here, V'ne'mar Lahalon, and it says in the Parsha of Shuas HaPikodon, an oath that's placed on a Bailey who denies having received an article to watch, to guard. So in that parsha, it also uses the word O. As far as the actual psukim are concerned, so as you go through the sukya, you'll see Rashi makes reference to the respective psukim. For our purposes, though, we're dealing with a gzera shava. Ma lahalon eino medaber ela b'tvias mamon, just like in the case of a pikodon, an entrusted article, dealing with something of value. Give me back my item. That's a money claim. Afkan, so too, in the parsha of Edus, eino medaber ela b'tvias mamon. It's also limited. The issue of testimony, it has to be testimony that concerns a money claim. Question. Or to say rejection. O in, again the plural of the word O, the rotseach yochichu. In the parsha of the Torah, in the section of the Torah that deals with murder, you have the word O. Shehein Oin. You see there the use of the word O. Umidabrim shelo betvias mamon. There it's dealing with a claim of murder, not a money claim. So how do we know by Edus that it's a Tvias Mamon situation? So the Gemara responds, Donin Oyin Shieshi Moen Shvua, Me Oyin Shieshi Moen Shvua. We do use the Oy Gzera Shava, but it has to be O where it appears together with an oath. So I'll learn my Parsh of Edus from another section where you have O and an oath. And I will not allow the oy in the case of rotseach to prove our case, our situation of shvuos edus, because there, by rotseach, there is no accompanying oath. The Gemara asks, well, we can reject that. Oyin de soita, Yochichu, in the parsha of Sota, which deals with a suspect married woman of having engaged in immorality, where you see the word oy, shehein oyin, v'yesh imoehen shvua u medabrim shelo betvias mamon. There you have a case of the word O. There is an oath involved in the parsha of Sota, and there is no money claim per se. The Gemara responds, so at this point then, how do you know that Shvuas Ha'edus is with a money claim? The Gemara responds, well, I'm going to nevertheless stick to my Edus connection to Pikadon on the following grounds. Dunin Oyin Shieshimoem Shvua Ve'einimoem Koyein. In the case of Edus, there is an oath, but there's no necessity of having a Koyein present. May Oyin Shieshimoem Shvua Ve'einimoem Koyein. Like we find by Pikadon, where there is an oath and there is no necessity of having a Kohen present. The Al Yochichu Oyin Derotzeach Sheinimoem Shavua. Here the Gemara reviews what we said earlier. I'm not going to allow the case of Rotzeach with its O to prove our case of Shuas Edus, because by Rotzeach there's no oath. The Al Yochichu Oyin De Soita, likewise the Oyin that you find by Sota is not going to prove our case of Shuas Edus. Shafapi Shieshimoem Shua, even though there is an oath over there, Yesh Imoyen Kayin. Part of the Sota process in the Beis HaMikdash involves the presence of a Kohen. So it lacks similarity to our case of Shvuas HaEdus, where there is no necessity of having a Kohen. Up to this point, we featured the opinion of Rabbi Lezer in how to discover that Shvuas HaEdus is related to Tvias Mamon. We now see more Tanoim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Shimon. Of course, I'm reading from the marked Gemara, and you can scan, you can see the names highlighted. As far as the balance of today's shiur, we'll continue with this source, of course, which continues to the upper part of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. But the analysis of the subsequent Tanoim here, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili, that will, Amir Seshem, be part of of the next shiur. In the meantime, though, we read their opinions, and as I say, the subsequent Gemara discussion on Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili, that will be in the next shiur. So now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, the pasuk says, "V'hoyo ki yesham liachas me'ele." This is a pasuk that you find in the context of Shvuas HaEdus, and it says what we just read, and we learn from this, Yesh Me'ele Shu Chayav, V'yesh Me'ele Shu Poter. There are cases of guilt, and there are cases of innocence or exemption. HaKetzad, well, how is this distinction to be understood? Tavoy Mamon Chayav, Davar Acher Poter. If the claim of testimony was a claim involving money matters, then their denial will result in their guilt. If, however, it was a claim for testimony regarding other matters, their false denial would not result in their guilt, rather, potter. They would not bring a sacrifice. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Oimer, Hareu Oimer, Thu Aid, O Ro'o, O Yoda. Rabbi Yosi Aglili cites another pasuk, another section of the pasuk dealing with Shvuas HaEdus, and he darshens it as follows: Be Edus hamiskayemes b'riyah b'lo yudiyah u'b'yudiyah b'lo ri'iyah hakosuv medaber. Whatever the testimony that the Torah is dealing with and its denial being resulting in their guilt would have to be a kind of testimony that could be stated, could be established through sight without knowledge, or knowledge without sight. Now, where do you find, in what realm do you find that kind of testimony? The Gemara will now delineate this. Re'iyah below Yediyah Ketzat. How do do you have the ability to testify when all you saw, where all you have is a sighting without knowledge? Here we have an example. Mono monisi locha bifne ploni uploni. Man says, I extended money. Let's say I loaned money. He says, I count, literally, as I counted out a mona, $100, let's say $100. I count out $100 to you in the presence of so-and-so and so-and-so. I have two witnesses. Yovo ploni uploni veridu. I want, and I summon them, you and you, to come and testify on my behalf. Zuhi ri'iya below yediya. That's an example of seeing something without knowledge. Exactly why the money was counted out, for what purpose, who really owes whom, that we don't know. And that they don't know. They're going to come and say, as we saw, money being counted out. So that's ri'iya without yediya. Yediya below ri'iya ketzad. How do you have a situation of knowledge without having actually seen? Mona hodesa li bifnei ploni uploni. You admitted, hodesa, you admitted, you confessed to owing me money, to you confessed to agreeing to pay me money in front of so and so. Yovo ploni ploni vidu. I want that so and so. I'm summoning so and so and so and so to come and testify on my behalf. Zuhi yediya blaria. Here you have knowledge. They would supposedly know or have heard so and so admit that he owes, that he has to pay the fellow litigant money, but they didn't see the actual transaction of the monies. The Rashi, toward the bottom of the Rashi column, he says, "Be'edus amiskaimis v'chulei, v'einucha edus b'zu below zu." You don't have any realm of testimony where you could have one without the other. Ria versus yediya, ela b'tvias moment v'vosh mozel. Outside the realm of money claims, within the realm of money claims, we illustrated how you could have one without the other. Mono monisi loch b'fnei ploni. Ploni heim ra'ushe monisim loch. These two guys saw that I counted out $100 in $1 bills to you. Avolo hodatim. But I didn't tell them. Im hei matona, o halva, o piron. I counted out money. I didn't tell them whether it was a gift, whether it was a loan I was extending, or it was payment that I owed. Fiomar lo halo, and the love says, Yovo ploni uploni via idu, shiamonisa li bifneim, vani porealach. The love, the borrower, in this case, the other guy says, let so-and-so come and testify that you counted out the money to me, and I will then pay you. So, in this case, the fellow is saying, yeah, if so-and-so will come and testify that you counted out to me money as a loan, so I will then pay you back. So as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is concerned, how do we know that the Parsha Shavuos Ha'edus is dealing with the Tviyas Momon? Because the Torah, in describing the type of tavia, the type of claim of testimony, is that kind of testimony that would have significance with mere citing without actual knowledge on the part of the witnesses, or knowledge without actual citing on the part of the witnesses. And as we said, that can exist only in the realm of mamon. We continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Omer Chayev Kan or Chiev Kan v'Chiev b'Pikadon. The Torah obligates here, and it also obligates or holds responsible in the case of an entrusted article. Ma lahalan einu medaber elu b'tfias moman. Just like in the case of the Pikadon, it's a claim of an item of value. Afkan eino medaber ela betfilas mamon. So too in Shvuos Ha'edus, it's also dealing with a claim of money, of value. V'yoyd kal v'chomer. And furthermore, we have kal v'chomer logic. Ma pikodon she'osa boi noshim kanoshim, kroivim kirechokim, psulim kiksherim. V'chayov al... We continue at the top of Lamed Dalet, al kol achas v'achas, b'fnei beizin v'shelo b'fnei beizin. Eino medaber ela b'tfias mamon. Mind you, in the case of pikodon, which is rather expansive in its application, a number of the points we saw here enumerated we've already discussed. The issue of pikodon affects women as well as men. A woman could be charged with having received an entrusted item. It's irrelevant whether they are relatives, even if they're relatives or non-relatives, whether they're suitable for saying testimony or they're kosher for saying testimony. When it comes to pikadon, that is irrelevant. And likewise, chayav al kol achas v'achas, if the entrusted article was in fact multiple articles, there would be the shvua that is done falsely would be chayav for each denied article separately, and the denial, the shvua, can be in court and also outside of court. And with all of this, we'll say expansive approach, broad approach to the shvuas pikadon, it nevertheless is limited with regard to tviyas mamon. Well, Eidus, which is a very limited realm in the first place, shelo asaba noshim kan noshim krovim kirechokim psulim kiksherim. Not everyone can be a witness. V'eino chayav elo achas b'fnei beisdin. And if there were multiple shvuas, and the... as Rashi says, he imposed the oath of testimony on them in court, and the witnesses denied, even though there were multiple oaths imposed on them, they would be guilty of only one offense. And as the Brisa continues, Einol, we said, Bifnei based in... Let me read that phrase again. V'eino chayav elo achas b'fnei beisdin. Eino din shaloyhei medaber elo b'tfias mamon. With all of these limitations, then certainly the realm of shvuas ha'edus will be limited to a case of tfias mamon. So far, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglini, he made 2 points. First of all, he uses what we call a binyan av, a comparison. He doesn't use a gzera shava, but rather he said, we find a shvua obligation or a shvua violation by Eidus, and we find it also by pikadon. And furthermore, he employed kal v'chomer logic. Now, regarding Rabbi Yossi Aglini, here the Tanaic source introduces an objection. We call this a pircha. Ma lepikadon shekein loy osa boy mushpa kenishba umezid kishogeg. In the case of article denial, in the realm of pikadon, entrusted article denial, we don't find expansion in other areas. For example, lo osa bo mushpa kenishba, meaning the concept of shvua, as far as the Torah itself is concerned, applies only when you initiate the shvua, not when a shvua is imposed on you by someone else. If someone else imposes a shvua and you simply deny, so we don't see that would result in guilt in the case of pikadon. Only where you initiate the shvua or answer omein to a shvua is there guilt. Likewise, in pikadon, we don't say that he's guilty if he is mazed, as we do hold him guilty when he's shogeg. So with this pircha having been stated, we could well understand why Shvuas HaPikadon would be limited to what it is, a Tmiyas Mamon. But Shvuas HaEdus isn't limited in this way, and therefore there's room to think that denial of testimony, even on non-money matters, would result in their guilt. Talmud Lomar Techto Techto L'Gzeiro Shava. So now, finally, Rabbi Yossi Aglili comes to a scriptural reference, a word comparison using the word techta that you find in both sections. Ne'emar Kan, you find by Edus techta, that's in Perek Hey of Sefer Vayikra Pasuk Aleph, Ve'ne'emar Lahalon techta, and in Pasuk Chof Aleph, by Pikadon, you find the word techta. Ma Lahalon Eino Medabel B'tvias Mon, just like there, by Pikadon, it's a money claim, it's a value claim. Afkan, so too, by Edus Eino Medaber Elo B'tvias Mamon. It has to be testimony that they deny that would have concerned a money claim. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a triangle that appears in alternating directions. Under the Mivneh heading that you see on the side, we've written, this is a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth discussion. Kushios or Nisyonos Libchis Halimud Shel Edus Mi Pikadon. These are attempts to reject deriving the rules of Edus from Pikadon. Uvim Koim Zeh Shenilmad Edus Mi Bitui. Davi Bidvarim Shalo Bitvias Mamon. And instead of learning Edus from Pikadon, we'll learn Edus from Shvuas Bitui, from vows of utterance that are not restricted to matters of money. They cover all self-imposed vows to do or not to do different things. Notice the Gemara, we have a long question marking. Maskif lo rabo bar ula. We saw, according to the opening approach of the Tanaic source, Rabbi Lezer's approach, who used the oi word to learn edus from pikadon. So rabo says, oi, bitui yochichu. Let the presence, the multiple presence of the word O in the case of Bitui, Vayikra Perakei Posuk Dalit, and Rashi quotes the Posuk, third line from the top. You can see it says, Oy Nefesh Kisi Sheva Levate Lehora Oy Lehetiv. So you've got the word Oy in that Posuk. That deals with the vows of utterance. Let them prove our issue of Shvuas HaEdus and have it not limited to Tvias Mamon, a money claim. What is characteristic of bitui? Shehein oyin, v'yesh imoyen shvua, v'ein imoyen koyen, umedabrim shelo b'tvias mamon. Notice there's three characteristics that we find by bitui that you find by shvuas edus. And by shvuas bitui, vows of utterance, there's no money claim involved. The Gemara responds, mistabra mi pikadon have le lemelav. It's still more likely to derive edus from pikadon, shikain techto mi techto. I have an additional gzera shava, the word techto, that you find in pikadon and you find in edus. And that would limit shvuas edus to money claims. Adarabba, to the contrary, mi bitu havde lemelaf, shikain chatos me chatos. It's more likely for us to derive Shvuas Edus from Shvuas Bitui, because in both cases, the type of sacrifice that the offending party brings is a sin offering. Not so in the case of Shvuas HaPikadon, which results in an osham, a guilt offering. It's a different kind of sacrifice. So what forces Rabbi Lezer to derive Edus from Pikadon? Elo Mistabra mipikodon havelil melaf shikain. And here we have a list of 5 points that are alluded to with single words. We can call this a simen. And those 5 points are chet, bemezid, tavei, vekafrei, viavrei. Rashi, I said five, but maybe I should be more accurate and refer to tavei vekafrei as 1 point, so that you have total of 4 points that bitui that pikodon has in common with shvuos ha'edus. And as we said, you've got chet, you've got bemezid, tavei vekafrei, and avrei. What are all of these things? So the Rashi explains. And you can see we have the Rashi marked off pretty extensively. Let us pick up the Rashi on the fourth narrow line. Ubishneim, go back and say on the first narrow line, you have, you find by Eidus and Bitui, what the Gemara said before, Chatas, a sin offering. Meshuas Eidus, Apikonin, you found an Oshem offering. Nevertheless, we went ahead and said, I still prefer the Shvus Eidus comparison made to Pikadon because of these 4 elements. And on the fourth narrow line, Rashi says, Ubishneim, that's an Eidus Pikadon, Chayaval Hamezid. You're guilty for a willful violation. Guilty means of bringing a sacrifice. Avobitui, Ksiv Bo V'Ne'elam. When it comes to a vow of utterance, you're guilty only if you forgot. You were unwitting. Tave v'kafre, edus v'pikodon, Rashi says, point al day tainu v'kfiro. The issues of testimony and entrusted article arise only when the other party puts a claim in for it and the fellow litigant denies. Masha'en came b'shvuas bitu. You don't have that phenomenon with a vow of utterance. V'avre, Eidus b'kodon shtein ha'shvuos l'sho'ovar. Both represent past tense types of vows. Avo bitui, when it comes to a vow of utterance, ikoro l'habo, the main form of shvuos bitui is one of a future nature. In other words, a person vows to eat a piece of bread or to go to such and such a place. That's derived from the pasuk that says l'ora l'hetiv. So when you have to decide what should be my source for deriving Shvuos HaEdus, I would be more comfortable deriving Shvuos HaEdus from Shvuos HaBikodon because of these 4 areas that they have in common, and which you don't find by Shvuos Bitui. Adarabo, to the contrary, mi Bitui have leila melaf shikain, and here you have 3 points that Eidus has in common with Shvuos Bitui. Shikain Chatos. They are both realms that result in a sin offering as opposed to Shvuos HaEidus, as opposed to Shvuos HaPikodon, which is an Osham offering. Number 2. Sheyorda. Yorda is a clue word, meaning it's an Oile V'yore type sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that is dependent on your wealth level, as opposed to a Shvuos HaPikadon, which is an Osham that is a dictated amount that you have to pay for it. And number 3, Chomesh. In the case of Shvuos HaBitui, and in the case of Shvuos HaEdus, there is no payment of an additional fifth, as opposed to a person who swore in denying having received an article to watch, and it's then found that he was lying. He has to pay, in addition to the principal, in addition to the sacrifice, he has to pay an additional fifth. That's Moisif Chomesh. So regarding Chomesh, Eidus and Bitui have that aspect in common, that there is no fifth. So why is it, still we are asking, why is it that you insist on deriving Eidus from Pikadon when look how many points they don't have in common with each other? 3 points that Eidus does not have in common with Pikadon, but rather has in common with Shuas Bitui. Which would then, as we said before, make it such that Shuas Eidus is not limited to Mamon. The Gemara answers its final response, Hanoch Nefishon. There are nevertheless more points in common that Shuas Eidus has with Pikadon than it has than Shuas Eidus has in common with Bitui. And as a result, we understand why Rabbi Eliezer learned that Shuas Ha'edus is limited to Tvias Mamon from the realm of Shuas Apikadon, which is by its nature Tvias Mamon. As you can see, beyond this point we have more diamonds. They connect with the diamonds that highlighted the other Tanoim on this topic that we saw in the long source, but Mitzvah Shem in our next shiur we'll get to them. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.